Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. New York Times bestselling author and lifestyle expert Bruce Littlefield's latest book is his most personal to date. In Moving In, Tales of an Unlicensed Marriage, he takes readers on a wild and often hysterical ride through the first year spent fixing up a historic old house with partner and unwitting handyman Scott Stewart, one of Manhattan's top real estate brokers. Bruce is a best-selling author, lifestyle expert, and arbiter of American fun. Previous books include Merry Christmas America, Megawatt Displays Across the USA, Garage Sale America, and The Bedtime Book for Dogs. He will be reading from and signing Moving In at the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York, this Saturday at 4 p.m. Bruce Littlefield, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me.
What made you want to put the stories together in this book?
Well, you know, it seemed like the right time in so many levels. Last year, I worked on a book called My Two Moms, a more serious take on this subject. And I realized that, well, first of all, this is the most personal story I've ever told in all my books. I've done, I think, 14 books now. And so this one is sort of the one and that is the most literal, close to home. And I felt like it's sort of a look at a relationship in a humorous way.
Tell us about how you, I know it's 20 years ago, but tell us how you and Scott met.
I always say that I am his first and Debbie was his last. he was dating a girl named Deb, and they, as when he first started dating her, he said, you know, I think I might be attracted to guys. Right. And then so they dated for a little while, and sure enough, after seeing a rabbi and a sex therapist and all sorts of sundry people, they decided, well, yes, he was, you know, and so they took a goodbye trip together to St. Martin. Mm-hmm. And sort of toasted the beginning of a friendship rather than a long-term, you know, romantic relationship. And on the way back, she said, I have a friend I want you to meet. And I was that friend. And so he came to a restaurant where I was working, and I looked at him, and it was, you know, lust at first sight,
at least
sure.
Lust, sure.
and so we hit it off, and we said hello, and we never said goodbye. So, and that was 20 years ago. We're still great friends with Deb. She's now married with two kids, and you know, that's the happily ever after story.
It is such a sort of fairy tale.
It is, until you see our day-to-day life when I argue with him over a breath mint.
Well, then it's just a normal relationship.
Exactly.
And how did you guys find the house in
the
Catskills?
Yeah, that is just another miracle of a story. We were, our friends had gotten married at Mohonk, and they were actually looking at a house in Rosendale. And one day we sort of came up to basically take a hike with our dog Jasper and decided to waste a realtor's time to, you know, let's just look at a couple of houses. And our budget was $100,000, and which, you know, at the time for me was, and it still is, a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so she showed us something more than double that, of course. And it was the first house I'd ever seen. And Scott's a realtor, and I just realized I could see myself and Scott having great times with friends in this house. And we didn't know at the time the historic value of the house, that, you know, that there had been a bungalow colony and, you know, lots of fun there. I just knew that I was going to have fun there. And so we wrote a check that day on the spot to sign a binder, got home and looked up on the map exactly where we were. We didn't know which side of the river we were really on and where it was. But hey, we had bought a house, so, you know, we love it.
And you're still there.
And we're still there.
It could have gone so terribly a different way.
Yes.
But it was meant to be.
It was really meant to be. And we, you know, I can't imagine my life without that house. So much wonderful things have manifested, and just the people that I've met up here, and the joy that we've had, like, just playing around up here.
Still keep a residence in the city?
We do.
Because Scott still works
there.
And you do often, too.
I do, yeah. I'm there often as well. And Scott is there on a day-to-day basis showing property.
How much time are you at the house, though?
Well, this weekend,
I'm sure
I've been here all week this week and have gotten to work in the garden. And the dedication of this book says, for Scott, can we now renovate the house? And, and the answer to that question is yes. I published the book and we hired an architect and we're renovating the house. So I've been up all week sort of getting the groundwork done for the renovation of the house.
So you never rest?
I don't like to rest.
It seems like not.
Yeah, I like to just sort of keep going, and sitting down is a very weird thing for me.
Well, you're sitting right now.
Yeah, yes, but good. I'm still doing a little work.
Oh, absolutely. So as we've said, the book is a collection of stories from the first year in the house. What were some of the biggest homeowner lessons you learned that year?
Well, grass grows is the first one, because between the sign when we signed the contract and when we closed on the house, no one had decided that they were going to cut the grass. Mm-hmm. So when we in our first weekend in the house, our grass was more than knee high. So that was the first. And, you know, our experience with grass in the city was an AstroTurf doormat, basically.
Sure.
So that was the first. The second is that varmints, bigger varmints than perhaps your dog, move into the house. So that was the sort of a second realization. And then the third realization is that in the city, you sort of put your garbage out and let it, you know, somebody comes right away and pick it up. You have to figure out how to dispose of all the things that you're finished with up here in owning a house in the country. So all of those things, and I guess the other thing about our house is that there were many older elements to our house, like our stove, and I tell the story in the book, but basically the first time I went to light the stove, I burned off my eyebrow.
Literally
burned off my eyebrow, and I didn't notice that it was burned off. I smelled charred hair, and I looked in the mirror and thought, wow, I didn't burn my hair after all. I didn't notice that I had a missing eyebrow.
You were looking at the hair on your head.
The next morning, my friend said, we're going to get in her car to go look at some plants, and she said, what happened to your eyebrow? And I said, what eyebrow? And she goes, yeah, the one that's missing.
In learning all these things, you have to like sort of assemble a super team of people to help you out and get through all the projects.
I have a thick notebook of names. If you need any, let me know.
I was hoping you'd tell us a little bit about Emmy.
Emmy, a wonderful, wonderful woman. She and her husband were dairy farmers in Minnesota, and she learned how to grow perennials in Minnesota. So that tells you something about her.
Her green thumb,
yeah,
absolutely.
She's got a green thumb for sure. And she actually came to the house the day after we moved in, because there were lots of cards, business cards that people have at various services. I learned really quickly when you look at the services that people are going to, you're going to need help, and
yeah,
these people are going to provide services. So one of those cards was Emmy's and her husband's card, and it said, said a beautiful thing about loving your home. And I thought, you know what, let me call her. So I was calling her to come over and help us cut the grass. And what indeed she said was, well, we don't really cut grass, but we do. And we'll come over and talk to you about your gardens. So I promptly got off the phone and said to Scott, oh, I've got somebody to come over and talk to us about our gardens. And Scott said, gardens? And,
we don't have gardens. And we have too much grass.
He said, I just want the grass cut.
Yeah, you skipped
and
a
I
step.
Said, well, let's just talk to them about the gardens.
Uh-huh.
And so I became and just fell in love with Emmy and her husband Jim, and we just created beautiful gardens. And so we've spent many years in the house, never renovated the house, and in fact, spent most of our time outdoors doing the gardens. And we do have really wonderful gardens. Emmy and her husband are now retired. She and her husband have built a little farm over in High Falls, and they are very happy but retired. And our gardens are still growing.
That's great. Was there any resistance from anybody you encountered along the way? Any prejudice against you and Scott being a gay couple?
Well, interestingly, the answer to that is no, except there was one occasion. And I'll tell you, before I tell you the occasion, the answer is this community in this area is just wonderful people. They look at you as a person, you know, and that to me was just magic.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from the South, it was for me a very different experience.
Sure.
To be a same-sex couple and to be just, hey, welcomed and loved. And it wasn't ever about that Scott and I were the same sex. And as you know, I wrote in the Bluestone Press a column for many years, and I received wonderful comments and made really wonderful friends from that experience. On one occasion, I at a store that's no longer there, so I won't even name it, but I held the door open for a gentleman to walk in, and he said, thanks, the F word.
The other F word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my little spirit was crushed.
No, I can't.
I was crushed, and I was thinking, you know, I was doing something nice for you, and like, what about me made you want to do that, to say that to me?
Right. Even especially, well, maybe not especially, but I would think particularly jarring because he said thanks.
Yes.
And then still slur.
A slur at me. Yeah. Every now and then that crosses my mind.
Yeah.
Only because it was, as you said, jarring. It was so jarring. But other than that one experience, and that one sticks out in my head because it was the single experience, I've had nothing but wonderful experiences and great joy from knowing everyone here.
Good.
Yeah.
So you've been in the house for almost 13 years
almost
now.
Almost 13 years.
And you and Scott have been together for, is it 20?
20 years, yeah.
20 years. Mm-hmm. But you're not planning on getting married.
Well, it's funny. I say that, you know, marriage is a great institution. I'm just not sure I'm ready to be institutionalized. we have this really, our relationship works. You know, we owned at one point two restaurants in Rosendale, the Rosendale Cement Company and the Alamo. And if a relationship can survive owning a restaurant,
it's set.
We have a great thing, and so we don't necessarily want to name it something, I think, but you'll have to read in the book. I do say one little hint at maybe one day, perhaps.
But you think also it will be more likely when it's nationally legal.
Yeah, here's the situation, and I think everyone should realize this. When I travel to New Jersey, my marriage is not recognized. So let's say I had an accident. Scott and I are married in New York, and we have a traffic accident in New Jersey. They take, one of us is injured, and they take Scott into the emergency room and begin treatment on him. I don't, even if though I'm married in New York, I don't have that legal right to crossing the state border. So I think that the federal law is really important for so many people and for so many reasons. In the book I wrote last year with Zach Walls, My Two Moms, we talk about certain circumstances that his mothers had gone through. One mother has multiple sclerosis and where she was denied entrance into the hospital just based on her married partner was the same sex. So
your work on your house is related to your work in your work. Does it feel different when it's your house, or does it help you? How does it relate to your work?
Well, my house is my muse for sure.
Okay.
And the way that my books sort of come into fruition is that I have an idea. So, for example, I decorated my house. The interior, because once we bought the house, we had no money left. So I did.
Sure.
I decorated it with under $5,000 and things that I found at garage sales, barn sales, yard sales up
Love
here.
Love garage sales.
Yeah. So, you know, I wrote a book called Garage Sale America,
you
right?
You did.
And then the first Christmas, I tell the story in the book of Scott and me decorating the house and how it didn't go so well on Scott's end. On my end, I thought I did a great job. but Scott and I realized that, hey, I should do a book on Christmas. So that HarperCollins gave me a deal to go travel the country to see why people decorate their houses for Christmas. And then we featured my house in the book.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I think that the house has given me the opportunity to sort of have a palette of and play around with it and to a canvas of like, oh, well, what shall I paint today, you know? And so I always say the New York Times calls me a lifestyle authority, and I say that is total code word for know-it-all housewife.
This book is moving in Tales of an Unlicensed Marriage. Do you know what your next book will be? And do you mind telling us if you do?
Oh, well, I'm working on something. I'm working on, a publisher asked me if I'd be interested in writing a book on how to open a restaurant.
Okay.
I don't know that I'm going to do it exactly as how to open a restaurant, but I'm working on the tales of owning a restaurant and all the things that happen in a restaurant. It's sort of the continuation of this story. which I'm tentatively calling Dinner Out. But because Scott and I can't cook, and I tell the story in this book a lot, but Scott
I love
and I,
that. Yeah, I also can't. I'm like, yes, only the couches and cushions of the house. Don't talk to me about ingredients.
Exactly. No, exactly. What did we do? We ended up opening a restaurant. So I think that's sort of the one that's coming at me that I think
rising to the top right now.
Rising to the top. I think that's the one that I'm going to do. I've a few people have asked me to do some books, you know, various books with people at this point, and I have to find the right project on that one.
Bruce, it's great to see you again.
It's great to see you too, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me.
Bruce Littlefield will celebrate the release of Moving In, Tales of an Unlicensed Marriage at the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York on Saturday, May 11th at 4 p.m. To learn more about the event, visit goldennotebook.com. Bruce's website is brucelittlefield.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.